I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe David Block. He's Executive Director of Youth Shelters and Family Services, and we're joined by Jacqueline Beam, who is Program Director of Access and All Kinds of Things. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So let's talk for a moment. For those who don't know about Youth Shelters, very important organization in Santa Fe, what do you guys do?
We have a number of services. One is a youth emergency shelter for kids ages 10 to 17. Those are kids that for a variety of different reasons don't have a home that they can live in temporarily, so we provide emergency shelter. We have a transitional living program for kids 17 to 22. Those are kids that are actually would be homeless in the absence of this program. And this is an 18-month program where they are able to get their education, get jobs, establish emotional stability, start saving money, and develop the range of skills necessary for independent living. We have a street outreach program where we serve kids that are literally homeless on the streets of Santa Fe. We have outreach workers going out onto the streets, meeting with the kids, providing a range of services, and then we have a drop-in center on St. Francis Drive where the kids can come in and get a range of services, everything from showers to food to internet access to case management services, referrals to healthcare, and other services as well.
What is going on in Santa Fe that all of these things are even necessary? We think of ourselves in so many ways as an affluent town.
Well, we're not just an affluent town. We have a great deal of poverty in this town, and many of the kids that we serve, and we serve approximately 1,100 kids and family members per year. So the world in youth shelters and family services is one in which we see kids coming out of poverty and domestic violence situations, substance abuse situations. So a lot of hard types of family situations that compromise their safety and well-being. And so there's quite a bit of that, unfortunately, in the city of Santa Fe.
Yeah. Now, Jacqueline, you are director of a pretty new program that has a very long name, so I'm going to let you say it.
Access, Training and Education Community Collaborative.
All right. What's that all about?
It is a Department of Labor grant that we just received in July, and we had our kickoff in October, but it is a program that's really focused on working with youth that have had some juvenile justice involvement in the past. And it's exciting because it's wraparound services based.
Wraparound?
Right, wraparound, which means that we're addressing all of the issues and the gaps. The gaps that are often there with those youth that have had trauma, poverty, experiencing poverty, etc. So we're looking at concrete services such as mental health and housing and anything that has to do with, you know, support services. So food stamps, if that's what's needed, Medicaid.
I would think also things like learning to study and stay in
life
school.
Skills. Yeah, absolutely. The goal of the program is if they're 18 or under, to keep them in school. And if they're not in school, then we have a GED program. And the GED program serves those youth that are 18 and over, and or if they just don't have enough credits to go back to school and they're under 18, then we also offer that. But it's really, because it's Department of Labor, the focus is to mentor and work with the youth for internships so that we're working with community partners throughout this area. And
what kind of partners?
Right now, we're working with Site Santa Fe, Cornerstones, the Rail Yard Stewards, a myriad of organizations. Chef Johnny V, who's the food editor, is amazing. He's always there for our youth and providing internships with catering. And
He's awesome.
So he is awesome. So we're always on the lookout for new opportunities for the youth, and we pay a stipend for them to train. And, you know, we're working with youth that are ages 14 to 24, so there's a large range there.
That's a big a big 10 years.
Yes, exactly.
I would think that another thing that those kids need is just parenting.
Absolutely. And we play that role often as
I
a
would
professional
think so.
Parents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our boundaries are definitely a little bit different, but we are filling in those areas and providing the services and resources that perhaps they've not had the opportunity to receive. And that includes a relationship with a caring adult.
Right. And there's our parents, but not only our parents, are our role models, and particularly during adolescence and young adulthood, having people who you look up to and emulate, it's really a non-negotiable part of the developmental process.
Absolutely. And I don't want to put it all on the parents. I mean, a lot of these youth are coming from poverty and trauma, and so it's really a systemic situation. It's not just the parents, not just the teachers, it's not just the resources that aren't available. It's the culmination. It's everything. And so we're really addressing, that's why it's called Wraparound. We're addressing all of those areas.
So how long has this program been in place? How long have you been here?
I've been with Youth Shelters for a little over 2 years, almost 2.5. And prior to this, it was a Civic Justice Corps. The program that we're working on now, we were able to expand it through this grant to access. But I have been in the area for 6 years, and the longest I've ever been anywhere since high school, so I guess that says something.
Yeah. Yep, Santa Fe.
Yes, Santa Fe.
It brings you in and keeps you here. So what kinds of changes have you seen? Like, thinking about maybe some stories of individual kids with challenges, what kind of progress have you been able to see them make?
That's a good question, just because, you know, everyone's idea of success is so different. And with the Department of Labor, we have some very, very spelled out criteria that we need to follow. However, you know, from a personal witness standpoint, I feel like the successes are when you see a youth that is coming into our program with literally a third grade reading level because he or she could never go to school because of their situation in their family life. And now from our program and attending regularly from prior, which was CJC, to now Access, they've raised their reading levels to a sixth grade level in a year. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And so we're providing the youth with more capacity to function in society and hopefully not go back to some of their ways. And why they're with us, I mean, in the first place, is because they've had some legal system issues. So
what kinds of legal system issues are we talking about?
Anything. It could be anything. Super minor, from teen court because of truancy, to a little bit more extreme, like issues with substance abuse and cycles in addiction. Or it could be, you know, juvenile justice. They're on probation or they've been on probation. The program doesn't require that the youth be currently involved in the system, so that's a wonderful thing. It could have just been a mistake that a youth made when they were 14 or 15 and now they're 20 and are very ready for a program like this.
We're talking to Jacqueline Beam from Youth Shelters and Family Services. Now, what is the interest? First of all, are we talking about New Mexico Department of Labor or the United States?
United States. It's a federal
program. It's a federal program. So what is their interest in giving money to young people here in Santa Fe?
Well, unfortunately, we are in the top tier for lack of resources for youth and families. And that was the basis. There were only 16 grants of this type given out nationwide and only 2 rurally, and we are one of the rural grants that was given. And we're also serving Española, the Rio Riba County area.
Right.
Grant.
Now, how do young people hear about the program? How do you make contact?
We're involved with a lot of community organizations. We work with the schools directly. We're very involved with Engage, the new alternative school for youth that have dropped out of high school. We have a presence there. three times a week. And we're also involved with meeting with the juvenile justice office and checking in with them. And then just word of mouth, you know, it's getting out quickly.
Do the young people like it?
I hope so. we try to keep it fun. In fact, that's my motto, my personal motto. So absolutely, I feel like our numbers show that they like it because they keep showing up and the attendance is good. And right now we're at 30, but we're going to be growing that over the next few months to 94 youth. And for the grant, we will be serving up to 188. And my personal goal is 220 by the end of the 2 years. So we shall see as we go along. We're fairly new in getting started. We just started officially in October.
What is the, is there like a long-term goal of this program?
Absolutely. There's several long-term goals. If they're 17, so if the youth that are involved in the program are 17 and under, the goal is that they stay in school, finish their education, and have a mentorship with someone in the community. And the mentorship is for really helping them to develop a sense of the bigger picture, career, you know, their passions in life. So our mentorship program is geared more towards pairing a youth with someone who is involved in a hobby or a career that is of interest to the youth. And then for those youth that are 18 and older, the goal is absolutely education if they haven't finished their GED or their diploma. And it's also finding jobs and being certified in an area that will help them in their future.
The reality is that we are living in a world where there's not a lot of good jobs, even for people who came out of happy families and families that were once middle class and now are struggling, but who don't have domestic violence or substance abuse. I mean, it's hard for almost everybody, except for some kind of like, I don't know, 1 to 1% or whatever. It's very hard to find good jobs. So
absolutely,
these young people, I mean, it's not like once they get over a few problems, life will be rosy. It's a tough market.
Absolutely. And so there's a lot of life skills groups around that, entrepreneurship, thinking, you know, on your feet and how to create income in ways that are a little bit different than the traditional track.
What are some examples of that?
Well, for instance, we just met with Only Green Designs, and they're going to be partnering with us, which is a great program working with youth to develop sustainable products. And they're constantly brainstorming on ways that they can create a product that is sustainable and addresses the issues of sustainability. And so the youth are going to be working side by side with the organization in order to learn how to develop their own products, how to think in these terms of sustainability, not only through income, but also green building techniques. And so that's just one example. Working with Chef Johnny V, they're learning about catering and, you know, employing themselves. Basically, they're learning all the skills of what that would take.
One piece of this program that I find very interesting is the restorative justice concept. First of all, what is that and how does it work in this program?
Right. Restorative justice has many different ways of being applied, basically. And restorative justice in the classic sense would be that the youth that has been involved in some type of
crime or misdemeanor.
Crime or misdemeanor, exactly, against another would confront that other person and make repairs. This program is more on a broad global level in community in that the youth are making repairs to the community. So we have service learning, which is a part of that, and we work with the Watershed Association and clean the riverbed, the Santa Fe riverbed, and also do planting with the Santa Fe riverbed. And then we also work with the rail yard stewards in creating and helping to create the heritage garden and maintenance of the grounds there as well. So those are two service learning, and we really require that the youth provide those services as part of the program. It is a portion of something that they know they have to commit to, and most of them love it, so it's great.
We're talking to Jacqueline Beam from Youth Shelters and Family Services. Now, there's another part of it, and you alluded to this, I guess you would call it the mental health piece, but I would think that so many kids who are in the situation that those kids are in, it's not that they're mentally ill, but they must experience frustration, anger, and emotions like that that are very hard, again, for anybody who's adolescent in this world.
Yes, and their community specialist who's assigned and their team, we're always looking out for those signs and really encouraging group processing as well as referring them to the counseling centers or any type of behavioral health organizations that they might need, whether it be psychiatric or just a counselor or someone to talk to at school.
Right. So you were talking earlier about community partnerships. What kinds of organizations might become partners in the future? Like, what are you thinking when you look forward?
You know, any organization that has a real sense of understanding of the system and how they might play a part in improving the system, and if they're open to taking on a youth and training them, and it's not a full-time gig. We really work with the organization in finding a win-win and what might best fit their business and what might best fit, you know, the situation. So it could be anywhere from 2 hours every other week to 20 hours a week. I'm really looking for any organization, to be honest, that feels like they have something to offer our youth in this community.
And maybe there's a way in which a young person could help. I imagine some of them are tech savvy.
Absolutely.
Some of them are hard workers.
Yes. And we have an incredible group of youth right now that are really hungry for learning and hungry to make a difference in their own lives as well as others. So, yes, let's use them.
Excellent. So Youth Shelters and Family Services is, where are you located? Like, what if somebody wants to stop by and see what you're up to?
The administration office is located at 5686 Agua Fria. And then our emergency shelter for young kids, 10 to 17, is right next door. We have our transitional living program located on Airport Road. And our drop-in center on St. Francis Drive for the homeless kids.
Right.
And our counseling center is located in our administration building as well. And we offer outpatient therapy services.
Okay, so you're really kind of all over town.
We are.
So if people want to find out more, probably better than dropping in would be to call or go to youthshelters.org.
Absolutely. And then the Access Program is located at, correct me, Jacqueline, 3215?
Nope, 3205.
3205, I always get that wrong.
Richards Lane. Suite A.
Excellent. David Block, we had you on the Radio Cafe probably about a year ago when you were just starting out. You had come from Wyoming where you'd worked in, was something sort of similar for many years.
Ran a youth treatment center in Wyoming and also was the executive director for the American Red Cross of Wyoming for 7 years as well.
Oh, okay. So how's your first year? What's happened? What's changed at youth shelters here in Santa Fe?
It's been an extraordinary first year. I'm blessed to have a wonderful team. I think the first year we've made a great deal of progress in improving our programs even further. We have a wonderful staff, wonderful teams that are providing a very high level of service. So I think on the service side, we've made the kind of improvements that we wanted to augment the quality of our services. As an executive director, one of my big challenges always is figuring out how we're going to finance all of this. And so we are reaching out to the community, I think, more effectively in asking for financial support for our program. Matter of fact, we're just wrapping up our holiday campaign now, and folks can still, if they choose, donate to us and go to our website.
Youthshelters.org.
Youthshelters.org. And right online, make a donation. And that will be, it's important for the public to know that while we receive a lot of grants that support all the programs that we've been talking about today, that we rely heavily on individual support as well. That's a real key cornerstone of our fundraising program. And it's only with the support of individuals throughout the community and corporations, foundations, that we're able to provide these kinds of programs for the youth that so desperately need these services.
Have you seen young people coming back who had taken advantage of your services in earlier years?
Yes, we had a wonderful experience this past summer where we have a special event during the summer, Boots, Bolos, and Boogie. And it's a very, it's a wonderful, extravagant, lovely event, dinner, music, etc. And a young woman who's probably 16 years ago was served by the Transitional Living Program, came back as our keynote speaker.
Wow.
And she is now a successful substance abuse counselor in Denver, owns her own home, and has really attained success in her life in her young 30s. So she came back to provide testimony to the incredible impact that Youth Shelters had on her life at a time when things were very desperate for her and her family, where she was actually homeless and needed to be in the Transitional Living Program, and helped all the guests there understand the transition she went through from that point in time to the kinds of skills and support that she received through Youth Shelters, and how that was enabled her then to go on to college and have the confidence to move forward with a very successful career now.
And I bet that the experiences she had in her life and at Youth Shelters made her a terrific counselor.
She's an extraordinarily compassionate woman. And so, yes, that compassion I'm sure she's bringing to bear to the people that she's serving today.
So it's just about time to go. Anything else, Jacqueline, that you would like to add or like people to know?
No, just I would just implore the community to think of this as these are our youth, and
yeah.
So any opportunity that we can provide to help change, make
yep.
change.
These are the next generation of adults, middle-aged people
in our community.
In our community.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Jacqueline Beam is Program Director of Access
Training and Education Community Collaborative.
Yes. And David Block is Executive Director of Youth Shelters and Family Services. Once again, they're on the web at youthshelters.org. They are also reachable at 505-983-0586. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and do come back again and give us an update.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.